This episode of the Regstick Podcast, sponsored by El Rio Grande Mexican Restaurant. If you're looking for authentic home-style Mexican food and the best margaritas you'll ever salt your lips with, go see our friend Raul Urdiales and the fun-loving staff at Baton Rouge's oldest Mexican restaurant, El Rio Grande. 8334 Airline Highway, just north of Florida, across from Frank's.
Welcome to the Regstick Podcast. Today's guests are Sonny Weathers, of Sonny's Disposition fame, and Baton Rouge Metro Councilman John Delgado. Now here's your host, the Regstick's Comedian-in-Chief, Jeremy White.
All righty, we are rolling here at, not El Rio Grande like we normally do each week, it is downtown Baton Rouge, Huey's. In the special back private room now. Feels so special. This is Jeremy White. I'm your host, the Regstick Podcast. We'll be getting to our regular guest here in just a bit with Sonny Weathers and Councilman John Delgado. He'll be on in just a little bit. But before we get started, I wanted to bring on a couple of folks that made the news recently, a couple of young guys from here in Baton Rouge. I think you are from Baton Rouge, right? Or no, not
originally. Actually from New Orleans, but close enough.
Close enough. New Orleans is good.
That's the same, right?
That's the voice of Wilbur Nobles. And his partner is Elvis Bolton, right?
That's right.
Okay, and Elvis is like Elvis in Cuba.
Right, with a B.
That's appropriate because this place is owned by a Cuban.
Correct.
So Elvis Bolton. So we got you guys on here. Y'all are students at LSU, right?
That's right.
Okay. And y'all have just come out with an app called the Power App. Tell the folks listening to the podcast, all the dozens of the folks listening to this podcast right now, about your app and what it does.
So our app, Power, which means police officer, watchdog, event reporter, is an app where a witness goes out and he can, if he sees like a police misconduct or even a good deed that a police officer has done, he goes to our app. He or she can upload it to our servers where we share it onto newsrooms.
Directly to the newsrooms?
Directly to them.
Okay. And this is for any kind of police interaction, good or bad?
Exactly.
Okay, good. So it's available on Android right now?
Right now it's on Android. iOS hopefully will be coming out pretty soon. It's in review, so... Hopefully not too soon.
Yeah, they're a little more stringent on and restrictive on.
Yeah, yeah. They've taken about 2 or 3 weeks on it. So
okay, gotcha. Now, I was reading the article. It came out a week or two ago in the Advocate.
Yeah, and about a week ago.
So y'all are having to partner with newsrooms, or do newsrooms subscribe to the service to get the videos, or how does that work?
We'll have them subscribe to the service. Where we'll have a software that we'll distribute out to newsrooms, and they can log on to that software and view any recent uploads from anybody that's posted on our servers.
Okay, so and they can get it at any time. They can download it at any time.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
And I'm sure they could also get like alerts whenever something new pops up or geographically centered.
Right.
Maybe I'm just feeding you ideas for next iteration.
That actually sounds really good, but
yeah,
actually it would be geographical or it could be just global.
Okay.
Cool.
So who was the marketing brains? Who was the tech brains? Because I know developing an app, I tried to do it when we went digital with the Regstick, and I said, after about a week of just looking at it, I'm like, fuck it, I'm not doing it. We don't need an app.
Yeah.
So what? Who did what?
You know, you just tell by my glasses that I'm totally super techie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Elvis is the developer. He came up with the idea. You know, we were discussing these recent events with Ferguson and what have you. And he said, you know, we really need to figure out a way we can help people reach out to newsrooms and other groups for that matter, to share these instances of police misconduct they see. You know, since then, I've been reaching out to different press. I've been working with other Manship students and Manship professors for be it marketing or, you know, advice. And since then, we're about 6 months old right now.
Okay. So yeah. It got started about 6 months ago, got the ball rolling, and so now it's manifest. You've got the app out there. Now it's just a matter of getting it out there onto the phones and tablets of people out there, and also getting newsrooms on with the software and the feed coming in to them. And then hopefully iTunes will come along and get their stuff on their iOS market as well. What are the pitfalls? What are the obstacles you all are looking at that you're still facing and having to overcome and that you have overcome with everything going on?
During development, there were a lot of, you know, little pitfalls and things that I had to, you know, jump over and fix. But at the moment, I guess the biggest goal that we have is to, you know, have it to it where it reaches a mass amount of people, where it'll be, you know, people actually, you know, take out their phones and they say, okay, this is what I'm going to use. It's going to be the Power app. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to upload it to their server. And, you know, we want it to be the main tool that people use whenever, you know, an incident or even a good thing happens.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, you can take a video that you've already taken with your native phone or Pat tablet camera.
Yes.
And then upload it to the Power app and get it out there. Unlike, I think, Instagram, you've got to take it with their camera within the app. And I think Vine is kind of temperamental in that same way. So that this way you've got it playing nice, where if you've just got something already on your roll, on your camera roll, you can get it out there.
See, on that feature, I felt like, you know, why would I want users to just have to pull up my app specifically for taking a picture or a video whenever that's already a thing that's on the phone?
Yeah.
And most phones make that into like a shortcut, make it into like an easy command where you can just pop it up and it'll be ready to go.
Yeah, if you're really concerned about getting the images out there, then you're not going to worry about whether they take the pictures with your app, as long as they have your app to get it out there later on.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, because if you're in a heated moment watching that a scene like we've been seeing on TV recently, you may not be thinking clearly enough to say, oh, well, hold on, before I fire up my regular video, let me go to Elvis and Wilborn's app and get that up first.
Right, exactly. And then by that time, everything
would
be gone.
Yeah, and by that time, okay, he's already dead. Well,
yeah.
So, well, awesome. What are y'all doing to kind of get the word out now?
So right now, we're looking at different tactics for distribution. Essentially, if we, you know, let's all be honest here, most people who experience a great deal of police misconduct are people of color. So, specifically, these communities probably experience more policing strategies and tactics than communities, you know, that are not black, white communities or higher income communities.
Mm-hmm.
So, whether it's speaking to churches, going to community events, even talking with different police departments or other organizations that are aiming toward reducing police misconduct.
Yeah.
We reach out to these groups. We try to see how they can distribute the app to people, inform people that, you know, this is a utility for them. Just yesterday, we communicated with Jonathan Newton, who's the president of the National Association Against Police Brutality.
Okay.
So, you know, there are some things in discussion with him right now. You know, these are essentially just some of the tactics we have in mind.
Yeah.
Trying to distribute the app.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. I guess the app will really kind of come into its own, unfortunately, probably when somebody uses it to capture an event like this, which we're bound to see another one like it, and it gets sent to newsrooms via your app, and then all of a sudden it's probably going to get more notoriety that way. So it would be good for you, but a loss for somebody else, obviously.
Right.
So, But despite that, best of luck with everything, and glad to see we've got some homegrown technology going on, getting a little recognition in the Advocate, and I'm sure better press than a shitty podcast like ours.
This is more laid back, so you know, I appreciate that.
If there's anything about our podcast, it's laid back. So we appreciate y'all coming in downtown to meet us here, and thanks for your time. That's Wilbur Nobles. And Elvis Bolton with the Power app. All right, appreciate you guys coming on. So let's go ahead and get on our regular guest here today, the Restrict Podcast over here at Huey's Downtown. Welcome in Mr. Sonny Weathers.
Hey, nobody cares about me. Get to the
No, no, they don't. They don't care about you, Sonny. And sitting next to him is Metro Councilman John Delgado from the 12th District of East Baton Rouge Parish and the next mayor of Baton Rouge, Mr. John Delgado.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks thanks for having me on again.
Oh, man, thanks for opening up this special back room. I feel so special. I can still smell the fresh leather here.
I knocked out a wall for you.
He didn't. He didn't do this for the bar. He did this just for us.
Just for us. He literally knocked down a wall. And well, actually, it was part of the offices next door that were part of MAP Construction, right?
Right. So this was just used like as an accounting office, and so we knocked in the wall and converted it into like a VIP room for Huey's.
You're just annexing every fucking thing, aren't you?
As much as we can get.
I don't blame you. Go for it, man.
You know, he could have used that as like a soundbite for the campaign if you hadn't dropped an F-bomb in there.
We'll clean it up. You're just annexing everything, aren't you, John?
I'm trying.
Wink, wink. Hey, nudge, nudge.
This is how you know. This is how you know John Delgado is a professional.
Uh huh.
It is almost 6 o'clock.
Okay.
He still has a perfect crease in the roll in his shirt sleeves. Mm-hmm. That's how you know he's working, and the hair still phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Like, that's not how he looks.
It's coming from two bald guys complimenting me on my hair. So
hey, look, I notice hair. I'm jealous.
It's one of those things. Any hair will do. I think.
He's Why do you think I grew a beard?
John is like a Cuban Don Draper. Look at that.
I thought you were going to call him a Cuban Don Johnson. I'd be
No. Don Draper, man. Without the cigarette habit.
With a Coke and a smile?
Well, yeah, exactly. I'd like to teach the world.
I just started watching that show, finally.
Yeah.
Legally purchased it on Netflix.
Yes.
And like 30 seconds into the first episode, I was like, Jesus Christ, I should have never quit smoking. Oh, I needed it back.
Well, they make it look glamorous for almost every episode until the very end.
It is glamorous.
It is.
Kids, take up smoking. Take it up at a young age, and don't listen to the naysayers that tell you to quit. Do it for me. Whenever you're smoking, say, this one's for Sonny. I started at 14. I quit at 30, but I started at 14.
Yeah.
We're very happy that Huey's a non-smoking bar.
It is a non-smoking bar. Are all three of your places non-smoking?
Yes, yes.
Huey's, Draft House right here around the corner.
And then Brickyard South.
Brickyard South over there by the pastime under the bridge.
Yeah. Every place that we have is non-smoking, but, you know, we've talked about it before about, you know, bars and restaurants going non-smoking. And I think it's tough to tell a business owner what to do with their business, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the customers don't complain.
No, they don't. And well, the way it's going to hell, New Orleans is a little more progressive on this smoke-free stuff than we are here in Baton Rouge
right now. The whole city went on smoking over there. And now, I don't know what the hell they're doing to enforce it. I'm fairly sure it's one of those things that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, they should just, it should just be gone, literally. I've done real drugs, and they were easier to give up than cigarettes were.
Honestly, I think that New Orleans enforcement of cigarettes is probably about like their enforcement of real drugs.
Yeah.
It's non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. It's New Orleans. It's the Banana Republic of New Orleans. So we'll see what happens. They're going to make a way. They're going to find a way to make money on it by enforcing it. Some cops are going to make money.
Oh, there's going to be a smoking permit that they give you, and then you can post it on your back windshield.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I'd also like to just say for the record, before Jeremy tweets out quotable Sonny, 14-year-olds smoke a lot of cigarettes. I was being sarcastic, people. Don't let your kids smoke. It was horrible. I was smoking 3 packs a day when I quit. Do you realize that was like $15 a day? And apparently there's health risks associated with it also.
Well, shit, man. But yeah, come on down to Huey's and check out this new boss-ass private room back here. This is all right. Cool. What's the address again?
353rd Street.
353rd Street. There you go.
And right, if you look it up on Facebook, you can also see some hail from yesterday afternoon from 353rd Street.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That came out of nowhere.
How big was the hail?
It was probably dime size, maybe a little bit bigger than that, but it was a lot of it. And so it just started coming down, and it sounded like someone was beating on a snare drum outside. And everybody from the bar just ran out to the front.
Holy crap.
I shot the little video on there.
Yeah, I saw that. It was bouncing off that car outside.
Yeah, no, it was it was a lot. It was more than I've seen downtown in a long time.
Yeah. Shit. So, Sonny, You've been having some interesting health issues.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. So, I guess probably a week and a half ago now, I did something to my back.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They're not sure yet whether I pulled a muscle and the swelling is what's causing me to have a nerve issue, or if I really fucked up and did something to my spine, because there's apparently a bundle of nerves at the base of your spine that can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get to the coup de grace here, I'll tell you, I go to the doctor.
That's the coup de grace for those of you across the river.
Yes.
for the West Bank.
Yeah. It's like a coup de ville for a girl named Grace.
So I go to the doctor, and I don't want to tell him the extra symptom I'm having, which is how I know there's a real problem going
on.
The
extra symptom.
Because the girl that's in the room with me, she's a physician's assistant.
Yep.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, she's probably about an 18. And that's wearing loose baggy scrubs.
Wow.
And her hair pulled back in a ponytail dealing with sick people all day.
So who is your doctor again?
This was at urgent care, actually. Because I have a real doctor, but yeah, try and get an appointment with him.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I said, hey, I got poison ivy, I need to come in, they were like, we can get you in about 2 weeks. So for now, I go to urgent care for anything.
Yeah.
Because I pay my bills. I thought about just going to the emergency room and not paying, but no. Apparently that's bad in Baton Rouge.
Thanks,
Bobby. It's closing all of our hospitals. Yeah. So pay bills, people. Don't smoke, pay your bills. So this girl's in there, and I was like, I tell her, I was like, look, I got this back pain, but the back pain didn't, you know, the back pain is secondary. And she was like, well, what's the primary? And I was like, boy, there's just no good way to say this. I said, basically, it feels like my cell phone is in my lap, and someone is constantly calling me. Just a low electrical vibration right through my left nut.
So,
look, you wake up. I woke up Monday morning with this symptom, and I was like, well, I could deal with a hurt back. I've hurt my back before. I'll take some legally prescribed Flexerils that I have. But this is a whole nother level. So I Google it, and I will tell you, I made a mistake the first time I Googled it.
Oh, shit.
Because you do not want to Google tingling scrotum. Without the word medical in the Google search.
You definitely don't want to do it at work.
No. You don't want to do it at work, and you definitely want to put medical in there. When you put medical in, everything that comes up is like nerve damage in your back, nerve damage in your back, pulled muscle, nerve pressure.
It's not called nut vibrating syndrome?
No.
Well, he was also going through Google videos and not just
regular
Google.
That's because that's my default.
Right.
Your computer knows you so well.
It does. It's too early in the podcast for me to make the joke I was going to make. Somebody might still be listening. I'll tell y'all that one off the air. Or maybe I'll just say it later. So I Googled it, and everything's just like, you have a nerve problem in your spine or back. So that's when I went to the doctor. And, you know, so I'm on prednisone and Flexerils and whiskey. So they were like, if it doesn't clear up, and we think it's the pulled muscle putting pressure on a nerve. If it doesn't clear up after the prednisone, which is one of those like 7 pills, 6 pills, 5 pills, I have no idea where I'm at. I just take a handful of them every day, at various times. Cause it's so weird. They're like, take one before breakfast and then two with lunch and then one after dinner and then three before bed. I'm like, I can't keep up with this shit. 9 pills here. Done. Look, when you had the pass I had, sometimes a handful of pills, you're just like, sure, okay, I'll take that. Put 3 or 4 Flexerils in there, get some coffee, go to work. It's what you do.
That's it.
So if it's not that, then this is no longer a joking matter for the podcast.
Okay.
Because then I have to go in and it's probably going to require back surgery.
Ooh.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants back surgery.
So this is now day 3.
Okay.
Literally, like I missed a call earlier at work.
You thought it was just your nut vibrating?
I was sitting like I am right now, and I had my phone upside down on me.
Uh-huh.
And my phone was ringing, or it was vibrating, but I couldn't feel it because of the other vibrations. Like right now, I think I'm getting a call.
I was about to ask you. I'm sitting on the couch with you. Is your phone going off? No. I'm sort of feeling the vibration over here.
Well, that's what like. So everybody was asking me. They were like, "Oh, that sounds awesome," and I was like, "Oh yeah, it was awesome for about 4 minutes."
Yeah.
And after that, you're just like, fucking make it stop.
Now you know how these women that come on like a Discovery Health Channel that are like having 100 orgasms a day. It's like, oh shit, that sounds awesome. And they're like, I'm fucking miserable.
This like, just sounds like the worst House episode ever.
No, it really is. I don't want Omar Epps touching my nuts.
Yeah, except with a much better PA.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, John Delgado just walked out of the room. So a girl at work was asking me about it, and she was like, that sounds awesome. And I was like, it's not. It's fucking terrible. And she was like, it seems like it'd be the best thing ever. And I said, let me ask you this, because now I'm 2.5 days into this. How would you feel about a guy licking your clit for 58 straight hours?
Whoa.
And she was like, okay, valid point. I was like, you think you might at some point be like, hey, could you just take a breath? Could you turn to the side and cough? Just do something to give me 1 second of peace and quiet. Oh, hey, look, John's back.
Hey, there was a call from your human resources department at your work over here.
As long as we don't say the name. Oh, I don't know if it was right. I better cover up this logo on my
cover up the logo on the show just in case it suddenly turns into a video podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I can put my phone up here because that's not vibrating. So that's been my week.
Good Lord.
That has been my week.
So when do you find out if this requires back surgery?
I have like 3 more days of prednisone, and if it's still doing it, then I'll have to go to a real doctor, like a, you know, a, I don't.
So serious,
somebody who can give me a
bacchiotomy. Are you vibrating right now as we're sitting here?
Yes.
I'm rather uncomfortable.
I know. It's very uncomfortable.
Look,
at least you're sitting. I'm sitting on a different couch. You're on the same couch.
If it makes
him.
You feel better, you remember that episode of Seinfeld where George was in the cold water?
Yeah, and the shrinkage.
In the shrinkage.
Yeah.
Basically, after this long, you just have like a tension through your whole body.
Mm.
So everything's like high and tight right now. Like there's nothing pleasurable about this at all. I got to think dirty thoughts a couple times a day just to kind of even things out and get it back where it should be.
Little turtles back in the shell.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, everything. It's packed tight in there. I look like a Ken doll right now. I'm not saying it's super impressive normally, but it's really bad right now.
Wow. Holy crap. Well, I guess we'll
so,
use
yeah,
that.
So, yeah, I may end up getting a bacchiotomy.
I saw the video. Where was that from? What was that?
That's from Half-Baked.
Half-Baked. Dr. Thay, I need a bacchiotomy.
Remember to get off me, bitch. Love that scene.
All right, so we have the next mayor of Baton Rouge. We've got somebody in politics here. We've had an interesting week or two with politics in Louisiana, especially yesterday with HB 707, which was the Marriage and Conscience Act, I believe it was called.
And
or
more
whatever
importantly, HB 745. That's mine.
That's yours. HB 745 is yours. That's for...
That's the one that'll let me play online fantasy football in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, that's
the one people care about.
Exactly.
I didn't realize you could not play online fantasy football.
Not in Louisiana. It's Louisiana, Maine, and one or two other states.
You can if you know someone in another state to set up an account for you.
Yeah. Come on, John. You're not a lawyer?
Like DraftKings and FanDuel, that's illegal here.
I could set up a Yahoo team. We set it up every year, right? Like the.
You ever put any money on that?
Ah, no. You're talking about with money and games.
DraftKings.
Gaming involved. Yes.
DraftKings and FanDuel, that's the online, like you can play every.
Right,
daily,
right, right.
Daily fantasy. And what do we have here? Do we have gaming here or gambling?
We have gaming.
Gaming okay. Because the
gambling is illegal.
Gambling right. Is unconstitutional.
We have
yes,
gaming.
You have to take out 2 letters to make it legal.
Yep.
We have gaming because those industries pay the state to be here. Gambling is if I go on FanDuel and win money, and the only time the state gets any of that is whenever I pay taxes on it.
Right.
That's gambling because the state's gambling on whether they're actually going to get that money. Which if I would have won, they would have, allegedly, because I wasn't doing that because that was illegal.
Hopefully all right, so that's HB 745. Let's all put a little bookmark on that in our legislative tracker, which we all have.
It's passed the House. It's okay. In the Senate right now.
Okay.
Right. They've tried to pass it several times before, and they're like, wait a minute, they're not paying us? Nope.
We'll keep an eye on it. We've got, what, 3 weeks left in the session? 3-4 weeks?
We have till June 11th.
June 11th. So, yeah. And then Paiush announces his run for president.
Didn't he just announce the other day?
Well, he's got his exploratory.
Oh, the exploratory committee.
Yeah. No, he's
this
got to make
the
it.
The worst kept secret the world.
Look, can I get on this exploratory committee? Look. Because I want to tell him, I voted for you twice. I believed, but you're stupid. You're never going to win nothing. You're just dumb. You ruined it.
You could be the best political consultant in the world. Just have him pay you, say, $50,000 to slap him in the face and say, it'll never happen, Bobby. Never.
Look, I don't even want to take his money. I met the guy. He was really nice. I'm a conservative Republican. I voted for him twice. I believed. I really wanted it to be awesome. And then I was like, wait a minute. No.
He's been inoculated. Doesn't matter how hard you slap him. He's been inoculated with the Timmy Teeple tonic.
Let me tell you, I think...
Oh, hey, I'll be right back. Talk about him while I'm going.
The 707 bill that's coming up.
The 707 bill.
I really believe that Timmy Teeple... You mentioned Timmy Teeple. I really believe that Timmy went over to Bobby and said, hey... I've got this great idea. You know, we're in a $1.6 billion budget shortfall, and everybody's really worried about how we're going to pay our bills, and our creditors are, you know, they're downgrading our credit rating. And, you know, pretty much everything's going to hell in a handcart. LSU's about to, like, lose every professor they have, and we can't possibly LSU's about to become a junior college. And so I know
they
what
can
we
rename
can do.
It Delgado.
They could, in fact. They've tried that once. Here's a brilliant idea. Let's just distract everybody by trying to, like, piss on the gays. Let's take out our favorite whipping boy.
Not to say that a few of them may like that.
Well, you know, some people pay extra for that.
Yeah.
But let's bring out our favorite whipping boy, the homosexual community in Louisiana, and let's create a law that authorizes you to discriminate with impunity, because it says that the state won't prosecute you, punish you, make you suffer any consequence if you do discriminate.
Yeah.
Mind you, there's no law that prohibits you from discriminating already, so you can already discriminate.
You can already discriminate.
Anyway. But let's create a law that specifically says if you do choose to discriminate, you're okay with us.
Right.
Then no one will pay any attention to the fact that we have a $1.6 billion budget deficit.
Pay no attention.
I just wish whenever they come out with a bill like that, I'd like to put this before the House and see if we could get this written into law. When you have a bill like that, it has to be read on the floor, and it has this, like, the wording in it should start with, I tell you what, buddy, here's what we need to do. That any bill about, like, we want to give you Jesus reasons, any bill should have to be read in that voice. If the newscasters want to talk about it, they should have to say it just like that. I should have to come on and commentate. Look here, people. What we want to do, don't touch nothing with your stuff that Jesus said no to. He said don't do it. He said you could sell your kids into slavery and stone your sister if she disrespects the family. But we ignore that part. And I got 7 tattoos. But this verse here, that's what he really meant. All the rest of that around, that's some bullshit.
You must have been watching the committee hearings. I think that guy was there.
That guy was there.
Twice.
The engrossed version has to be read in its entirety in that voice by a guy barefoot with no shirt in overalls and a straw hat.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there should be hee-haw music behind it, too.
And three sex chromosomes, by the way.
You at least need one extra chromosome if that's how you feel about anything.
The worst thing about that was just watching everyone speak out in favor, speak out against. There was this great debate, and it was, look, I mean, I'm all for having a good discussion.
You're talking about the committee meeting yesterday.
Yeah, but the committee meeting yesterday at the state legislature. It's okay. We can discuss these issues. You know, just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I hate you. We just have a disagreement.
Right.
That's life. I mean,
but if they do disagree with you, now they can discriminate against you if this goes through.
Yeah.
Well, then the beauty of it was that after several Republicans, all the Democrats, voted to kill this bill 10 to 2. I mean, it died a miserable death in
the
committee.
Mike Johnson voted for it because he was on the committee, and he got one swinging dick. I guess it was swinging. Might have been vibrating like Sonny's. to vote for, to vote to not put it back to the calendar, which basically means it's going
to
die.
Right. I mean, it was dead 10-2. That was a Garofalo out of a Chalmette area. Yeah. Which
and has... everybody else on the committee, the other 10, said send it back to the calendar, which essentially meant
right, kill it.
Put it back on the shelf.
And
we're not going to look
process,
at it again.
And that's the process that you follow. And then right. Governor General comes up with this.
Within, what, an hour?
Oh, yeah.
It had the bill hadn't even assumed room temperature yet, and he's already coming out saying we're gonna come up with this executive order. Now, mind you, I've been blasting Obama over in the White House for issuing executive orders and bypassing legislative process and everything like that, and he was this fucking tyrant. But I'm not a tyrant because I'm Bobby fucking Jindal.
I'm not a tyrant because I believe in Jesus,
and I want some ice cream.
My skin might be almost brown as him, but I'm not.
And I just
I'm
you know,
not a tyrant.
I use that voice, and I know I throw Jesus in there a lot. And look, like legitimate, good Christian people, they don't feel that way.
No.
They don't.
No.
It's because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people realize that, you know, they were like, oh, wait a minute. There's the whole New Testament thing where Jesus was like, hey, let's just be cool. Let's just...
Well, let me just say this for everybody listening. Go out there, Google what Jesus had to say about homosexuals in the Bible.
Yeah,
and you'll get a blank page. It's only Google that has no answer because it doesn't exist. There's not one word spoken by Christ, God incarnate. There's not one word spoken by him in the Bible. And I would have thought if he said it, it would have been worthy of like you know replicating and putting down on paper.
Yeah. Look, he may have talked about it, but are you Catholic?
I'm Catholic. Yes.
He may have talked about it, but there was a large, powerful organization a long time ago that. Took a lot of things from the Bible that they thought didn't fit what they wanted to be, and they hid them away. And then there was a lot of inconsistencies with other stuff, and they just ignored that. And they made sure that gay thing was in there. But, yeah. You know, you just, like, again, we talked about this week before last on there. Just be a decent person. Like, who gives a shit what somebody does in their bedroom? I don't want to see two dudes making out on the street. I don't want to see a dude and his old lady making out on the street. I wouldn't mind seeing two chicks making out on the street, depending on what they look like. Guess what? That's a personal preference. But if it's six adults that are like, you know what, we're all just all going to live together and co-mingle, do whatever, hey, have fun. Good for you.
Just leave the kids and the animals out of it and it's all good.
You know what? And that's another reason why I'm anti-marriage. Oh, because they seem to have all this shit so awesome for married people, right?
Yeah.
Except you can't. They're like, well, this is love and honor and respect. Well, if half the people that want to do it can't, then what does that say about me? I don't need a piece of paper to tell me how the fuck I feel. I know what I'm doing.
What's
off
funny,
my soapbox.
That's all right. No, look,
sorry, I get a little carried away. I know this is like a comedy podcast.
In a lot sometimes of countries, in a lot of countries, people get married twice. You get married once in the church, you get married once civilly. And so to have your relationship recognized as official by the government is one thing. To have it recognized by the church is a totally different thing.
Totally different fucking thing.
And so when we're getting up here talking
and I don't
about,
want either of them to recognize my relationship. I just want to leave me alone.
You don't want the government
and
to
I'm
find
straight.
You at all.
That's it.
He's just hiding from the government, really. He's off the grid.
Sonny wants his relationships to be off the grid.
Hey, we're Facebook official.
Oh.
So...
As in a relationship or engaged to or...
In a relationship. Fuck, we've been together for like almost 12 years. She's got both closets in the master bedroom and I snore so much. Most nights I'm like, do you need me in there? No, okay, I'll just be in the other bed then. That's love. That's a marriage. I don't need a fucking piece of paper and an attorney or some magical sky demon to tell me anything else.
My wife would give me back the rings look. Right now if I gave her the master bedroom closet that I have.
She has
no doubt.
The master bedroom. Like, I'm just a guest in there. I don't use that bathroom because, you know, I ain't going to stink up that bathroom for her. Her shit's already in there. It's just me over there in the other spot.
Man, so what happened with HB 707 yesterday? It was sent back to the calendar, and then within an hour or two, Bobby Jindal comes up with the executive order. He's a lame duck, by the way, and he... vacates office in January.
Hey, but, don't be racist.
He said...
Don't be mean to ducks.
We're basically going to issue an executive order that has the same effect as HB 707, at least for the remainder of my term. But then today, I believe Walt Leger from New Orleans said, no, that's not enforceable.
Well, enforceability is up to the lawyers, I guess, in a way. But he, I mean, he issues it. He can issue all he wants.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he goes out there and he says, it doesn't matter what the legislature said. I'm going to superimpose my will over what the legislature wants
right.
to do. And you know, that's what he complains that Obama does. And the hypocrisy of it all is just overwhelming. Of all places, the hayride, Scott McKay, my favorite guy in the world, puts on, you know, it's
have
on
you bought
website.
That? Have you bought the military grade steroids, by the way, that he advertises on there?
No, but I am thinking about the gold investment.
The gold investments.
Where they hold it for you, and you never get to see it, but they tell you that it's there.
I've been trying to cure my raging diabetes by drinking a 2 liter of Coke every day.
Yes, and there are several home remedies that are available for other diseases mm-hmm. if you just buy the book.
Yeah,
that they're hawking on. Every day I get a new
toothpaste will kill ants.
I get a new lunatic email from
every day. Yeah. Every day.
While we're on gold, can I just say this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, oh, central bank will ruin the country. We're being controlled. Everything was so much better when we had a gold standard and everybody used gold to barter and trade. And they also got syphilis and died fucking dysentery. Times change. We need a central bank.
Yeah.
You want to buy gold? That's awesome. Because you're like, well, when the system collapses, I'm going to have gold. Guess what? I'll have a shotgun. You know what your gold means then? Nothing. When the system collapses and we're all living in the Stone Ages again, try and trade gold for some food and see how far you get. Sure. I'd rather have a chicken farm than 10 gold nuggets.
There you go.
Or a firearm to take somebody else's chicken farm.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
No.
I get rants, man. I'm telling you, I'm tense. I'm tight.
I love our tangents. This is my favorite part of doing this.
So where were you? I'm sorry.
I'm gone.
You're
gone?
Okay. So we've got HB 707. I am waiting. I've got a prediction. We will soon see somebody find Representative Mike Johnson with a profile on Grindr. I predict it right here on the Red Stick Podcast.
Sonny, have you been looking for him? Or?
Oh, ouch. No, I can't right now. I gotta wait till this.
Until the vibration stops.
Change my ringtone to Marky Mark.
All right.
Feel it.
I want to believe that Mike Johnson is a good person at heart. And everybody that I know that knows him, and he and I went to LSU together, actually.
Really?
It's very strange. We really didn't cross paths much, even though he was involved in student government.
There's
was
35,000 people there. It's kind of hard not to go to LSU with everybody. Yeah.
It was smaller then. It was like probably 20,000 students back then. And I mean, that's probably, I guess, because I'm old.
What year was that?
Oh, 1970. No, 95 I graduated LSU.
Okay.
And he graduated at the same time, and then he went to LSU Law. I went to Tulane Law.
Just FYI, me and you were almost at LSU at the same time. I was there in 96.
Through
98.
Okay. I was thinking 2006.
No, I didn't finish. No.
All right. I want to throw this out here. I saw the link last night, and I figured this would be a great topic. It's close enough to Baton Rouge. We'll talk about it. It's Harvey, which is right there at New Orleans on the West Bank. Two Harvey volunteer fire officials on trial for theft charges. Okay. Nothing too earth-shattering. Two top officials with Harvey Volunteer Fire Department, Fire Company Number 2, are on trial in Jefferson Parish, charged with stealing about $350,000 in public money through their use of the fire company's credit card and checking account. Okay, that's a significant amount of money. Attorneys for the fire company's chief and deputy chief contend that even though the roughly $2.8 million per year the company gets from Jefferson Parish's Fire District Number 6 comes from property taxes, it becomes private money, blah, 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 blah. Okay, let's go in through the two guys.
What are you talking about?
Chief Scott Berthelot and Deputy Chief Michael Reason, both of Harvey, waive their right to a jury trial. We get a little further down this article here by Chad Calder. Okay, Reason, one of the guys, his name is Reason, told investigators that he accidentally used the wrong credit card when he purchased a genital enhancement device.
Oh.
Well, that was a long way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Was that $350,000 worth of genital enhancement devices?
That would be one hell of a
lot of pumps there.
Yeah.
Well,
they could use that to like work a whole fire truck.
What they don't
truck.
Tell you is he's a subscriber to the Hayride, and he's just trying to support their sponsors.
He's trying to turn his dick into an extra fire hose.
That could work probably with that.
Yeah, that's all it is. He's all about firefighting. Hey, I got this here. Let's see if I can turn it into a fire hose when we really need that extra pressure there. So
It's got to be an ad on there. It has to be.
It has to be an ad. The fire company's secretary testified Tuesday that a class ring that Reason purchased with company funds was approved by the board. $350,000. I don't think that's the penis enlargement thing.
Penis enlargement, I'm sorry, and a class ring?
Genital enhancement. That could be a lot of things.
That could be surgery. You could be getting a banana split with that.
That could be a cock ring.
Ring on there.
It could be a cock ring.
No, you get it turned inside out. I mean, genital enhancement, that's...
Mm.
Banana split is the term whenever you go from being a male to a female.
Ah.
And they split it down the middle and they make you a...
No, I don't. Parts. I don't. Okay. I don't.
I've heard a lot of references. I've never heard that one.
Okay. Under question.
You need to live life more.
Under questioning.
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Also, thanks.
Can we start a gate? Can you start a gate website and we can call it the Hey, right? Just like six E's in it. And we just copy his site with just nude men pictures on it.
And it would be run by Scott McKay.
Yes!
Oh, Scott, I so hope you're listening. God,
yes, indeed.
Of course he is.
So, okay. I've got to
Google his name 9 times an hour.
Wait, we got some good stuff coming here. Under questioning by Assistant DA Michael Morales, Paulette Mattia, the secretary, said she was not aware of any internal inquiry about why the fire company was billed for the enhancement device from Fast Size LLC.
Fast Size.
Huh. That's the name of the company. That's what shows up on your
Rapid
bill.
Rapid Tabs.
Rapid Tabs. No.
They could at least have come up with a better LLC name, something a little bit more nondescript, like, you know, I don't know, Fast anything else but size.
That could be the military-grade steroids.
Large Genitalia LLC.
They also apparently stole... or purchased gold watches.
Yeah,
$12,000 worth of gold watches. I'm just wondering what
hey, this
is going
was
on.
Accidents.
Was
he had the wrong credit card?
Yeah.
Was there some like team up between the Sorrento Police Department and the Harvey Fire Department that I'm not aware of?
The Sorrento Department. I'm going to grab my drink and pour a little bit out right now. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Sorrento PD.
I will tell you an interesting story. When I was first elected, it's really not that interesting. I'm just trying to pump it up for people to keep listening. First elected to the council, a couple of month or two later, I'm pretty green. I didn't really know anything. I get a phone call at my law office, but it was from the Sorrento Police Department, and they were asking me to contribute to a fishing rodeo.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Wait. Was it spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G rodeo?
And
Sonny's laughing his ass off.
I gotta go back and look at
that's
that.
That's a nerd joke.
Yeah, no. I get that reference. I get banana split. I was lost on.
Yeah, people that graduated LSU in the early '90s like you probably aren't familiar with that term. Just been a victim of it.
Come on now, fishing was going on. I can tell you the fishing history all the way back to the payphones.
Steve was a phone freak back in the day.
There you go. So
the recorder with all the sounds.
So they called me up and they said, we're having a fishing rodeo. Would you like to contribute? I said, sure, why not? I mean, I guess it's my duty as an elected official to help out other communities. And so I sent them a check for $100. And then the next year they called, and I did the same. They asked me for the same thing, and then I said, sure, I'll send a check. And then they called back.
They had the words gravy train written next
to
your name.
And they said, they called back, and they said, well, sorry, we canceled it. We're not doing it.
So
don't send the check. Oh. And I said, oh, okay. And I didn't even think about it. And then in the news, it starts coming on that there's this huge scandal about Sorrento Police Department, and I'm sitting there funding their fishing rodeo going, man, all right.
Funding something.
Yeah, funding something. Somebody's fishing out there in Cocodrie on my dime.
You're funding the vodka that Earl Terrio bought to get hookers drunk and chain them under his desk so they could blow them all afternoon.
So you really did fall for a fishing scam about fishing.
That's the irony. Thank you. Thank you for stealing my punchline.
Damn it. I'm sorry. Rewind. Let him say it. I'll laugh a lot.
So I really did fall for a fishing scam about fishing.
This guy.
Thanks.
I'm sorry.
By the way, one of the attorneys representing Berthelot, one of the firemen down there. Guess what his name is? Willie Beavers.
I don't even want to comment on that. I'm just going to let that one go.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's
his
good.
Middle name
good
is
on to, good on tone.
His middle name is Does.
Or Shaves.
Oh, he's got both. He's like a he's got a hermaphroditic name.
Jesus Christ.
He's got a Willie.
I should have never said banana split.
I was trying to bring banana split back in here, but I just can't do it.
Just let that
I think that's
go.
The first time we've used the word hermaphroditic on the podcast.
And hopefully the last. You have anything
I
else
am
you
shocked.
You've
had 100 and something episodes, and this is the first time?
Hermaphroditic. Yeah.
We've said hermie a lot, but.
Just never the official term.
Yeah.
I mean, I wear wigs for Spanish Town, so I mean, I'm kind of in the.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we had a couple of news stories come out yesterday that had to do with sex by teachers with students. Sex, teachers having sex with students. Let's say it that way.
You know, when I first saw the headline for the new one for the guy.
Yeah.
Who apparently now it came out he got one of the students pregnant.
Oh, shit.
It was like teacher of the year arrested for sleeping with students. And my first thought was, boy, that's a weird nickname to give to a teacher that touches kids. And my second thought was, I thought they were trying to be sarcastic, like, you know, like teacher of the year used to be a thing said with private, and they're like, oh, teacher of the year sleeps with students.
Yeah.
Like whenever you used like, to be, you call somebody Einstein.
Yeah.
It was a compliment.
Our parent of the year is, yeah. You know, the
now
kids
are now you call somebody Einstein. It's like, oh, good job, Einstein.
Yeah.
I thought WAB was being sarcastic with
especially
that.
With his picture. It's like, that's the teacher of the year?
Yeah. The guy actually won teacher of the year in Iberville Parish.
Well, it is Iberville Parish. Yeah, so, I mean, come on. How high is the bar?
I mean, he's got to have that white trash goatee.
Yeah, I mean, this guy here just like
I think
really,
you need that to get your voter registration there.
He looks like he should still be in detention from his junior year of high school.
And the thing was, it wasn't just one student, right? So
It was three girls, but there were multiple counts.
Oh, it was 30 counts.
37 counts. I don't know what he teaches. He should teach math. Count one sexual misconduct count. Two. 37 counts related to inappropriate sexual relationship with three students. Kevin Keith, 30, booked in Iberville Parish Jail this Tuesday.
Now, I wonder if his middle name starts with a K also. Based on his face, I would guess.
Yeah.
It's almost a certainty.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting, though, about this case, and I really want to watch it. I really want to pay attention to what happens to this guy in Iberville Parish.
Yes.
We have seen in Baton Rouge and Destrehan and all around America these female teachers who have sex with students, and there are no consequences, and nor do I think there should be in a lot of those cases, because they're most of them are really hot. Now the ugly ones you should put them in jail. The pretty ones you let them go.
Especially Destrehan.
The Destrehan threesome.
My God.
I mean. At some point in time, you just got to say, hey.
You just need a slow clap for that one.
I mean, that guy. Yes,
he was 4 days
away. I don't know how to make it sound on the microphone like I'm clapping.
He was he was 4 days away from turning 17 anyway. So, I mean, come on.
Look.
Yeah, but let me try and use that excuse. Oh, she was 4 days away from turning 17.
No, exactly. I think it's an interesting dichotomy, though, between how we look at sex between adults and minors from the male-female perspective and then from a female-male perspective.
Look, as someone who was once a 16-year-old boy, any dude that has sex with a teacher knows what he's doing.
Knows exactly what he's doing.
And he wants it.
Yeah.
If my, God bless her, I'm sure that she's a wonderful woman, and I'm sure she's happily married and everything else, but if my French teacher from high school had ever come on to me, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to let that go, but I'm just telling you, she was a beautiful woman, and I'm a 15-year-old kid, and I think she's the hottest thing on the planet. How do you, you know...
I'm the same way.
And
I had a teacher.
You French.
I had a teacher who was hot back
French,
then.
French, of all the things. Like,
exactly.
It wasn't calculus.
And
like,
it was French. Yeah, it was French.
Beautiful language.
I won't say what she taught because we're friends on Facebook, so I'm not. But yeah, she could have got it.
Well, you were talking about the disparity and the inconsistency that same day. In fact, I think that very same hour, we had an article come out from Channel 9. Former Baton Rouge teacher avoids prison after juvenile sex crime convention. Guess what? It was a chick fucking a guy student. Former Baton Rouge teacher took a plea deal that keeps her out of jail.
But he was 17, wasn't he?
16.
Wow.
Yep. Keeps her. It requires her to register as a sex offender.
Did it require her to get that shitty wig, too, that she's wearing?
Oh, my
now?
God. Yeah, well, I like the brunette better than the blonde hair, though. The teacher is accused of having a sexual relationship with a now former student and a 16-year-old boy.
Okay, that woman would not have made the janitor staff at the Destrehan High School.
No. Ashley Dowden.
They have standards over there.
Yeah. Ashley Dowden, 42. She was employed as an English teacher at Riverdale Christian Academy, I think over on O'Neill Lane.
I don't know, 42. That might be kind of pushing it when you're 16.
Yeah. She was involved in a sexual relationship with an 18-year-old who attended the school. The relationship occurred sometime.
Okay, 18.
But also, yeah, also the parents of a 16-year-old boy found inappropriate text messages on his phone from Dowden. The teen told deputies he had had sex with her at Riverdale Christian Academy at the school, but he did not attend school there. But he was still 16. She doesn't go to jail. How many years is the motherfucker in Iberville Teacher of the Year going to be in jail? He's going to die
in prison.
Exactly.
He should die in prison, but all these women, they just let him go. Just stop.
Yeah.
You know what they did? That dude has the best story for the rest of his life.
Oh, the...
I fucked my teacher.
The student.
Yeah, the student. Not the
teacher in Iberville. He's got the best story to tell in prison when he's being gang raped.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, I mean, it shows you right there. It happened within an hour that these two headlines came out, just to show you how hypocritical it is, how inconsistent
it is. We talked about me knowing the one that happened
in Lake Charles. Yeah.
And, you know, nothing much changed. She's always liked having sex with 16-year-olds. Even when she was that age, because that's when I knew her.
Like Sonny said, he may or may not have been orally battered.
You know, sometimes things happen. You just talk, and one day things get out of control. Next thing you know, it's her choice. We were consenting 17-year-olds at the time.
Almost adults.
Maybe.
Consenting almost, nearly adults.
But it is weird the way that we view sex as a society. So it's just like, you know, if it's a guy, older man with a younger girl, and look, I have a 2-year-old daughter, so believe me, if any of her teachers ever came on her anyway, form, that's a dead man.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I understand as a formerly 15-year-old boy that there are some hot teachers out there, and you just want to do naughty things to them.
They're even hotter than they were when I was there, apparently, from what I see in Destrehan.
And, you know, in Destrehan, the teacher that took the plea deal already does not have to register as a sex offender.
Yeah.
Has basically no consequences.
No consequences.
Slap on the wrist and, like, you know,
right.
2 days probation.
Right.
Doesn't hurt that her dad was a judge.
Well, that's true. St. Charles Parish?
Yeah. Yeah, Jason Parish.
Yeah, but you know what? Even with her dad as a judge, if they'd have put that kid on a stand in trial, that her dad would have gave him, like, a little fist bump, you know, like, good job, boy. Stay away from my daughter. Good job.
So, y'all want to talk about Waco, or you want to talk about the assholes jumping to their deaths, base jumping?
Let's save it. Let's save the base jumping for last. Waco's got to go.
Waco, we got to talk about Waco because it's Texas, and it's bikers, and everybody's talking, of course, about the difference in the tone and the language being used to refer to these whatever Fox News is calling them. As opposed to whatever they called the people in Baltimore.
Well, okay, so that's a. I just got into that argument with someone today. The fact is, yes, okay, so we're not calling them rioters. We're not calling it, you know, not
what about
calling
thugs?
It the National Guard. We're not calling them thugs. Well, you know, I don't think they're out there assassinating people with like a little silk rope. I'm not really sure what the thug concept is.
Other you could
than,
call them thugs. I mean, they're biker trash. Hashtag Bike Lives Matter.
But I mean, but look, here's the thing. To call someone a biker, that's That's akin to calling them a thug. I mean, to me, I don't think it's a complimentary thing to call somebody a biker gang member.
Well, bikers encompass a huge array of different types of folks. You have the good bikers that do a lot with charity that aren't criminals, that aren't, quote, one percenters.
Right, the 99%ers,
and
yeah.
So and even the bad ones, they say they're very smart the way they do it. They raise charitable funds for children's hospitals and other stuff so that they look good in the community while they're dealing dope and heroin and guns.
And guess what? Yeah, that 1%, that's just what they say. There's a lot more than the 1%.
Yeah.
If anything, it's probably closer to the other end of the spectrum.
I think
there's a lot less doctors that ride on the weekend as there are meth.
There's not much difference between the Crips and the Bloods and the Cossacks and the Bandidos, except
cooler names.
Cooler names and also better.
Much cooler names. We don't want to make the Bandidos mad.
No, we don't. And they have a much better PR machine.
I don't want to be called.
There may not be
any
Crips and Bloods in Baton Rouge.
I mean,
the
last time the Crips and the Bloods had
come on over to 70815. I'll introduce you.
The last time the Crips and the Bloods had positive PR was the Michael Jackson "Beat It" video. That's the last time.
But well, I guess really they all have shitty names because I wouldn't want to be called a Crip. Because that was always like a negative connotation growing up. Be like, look at the Crip over there walking with a lamp.
And they made fun of that in South Park.
I also don't know if I'd want to be called a Cossack, because that's really easy to stumble over the tongue with that. Now, if I could be called a Bandido, hell yeah. Well, if I could be a Hell's Angel or a Mongol, I'd love to be a Mongol.
Yeah.
Not a Mongoloid, just a Mongol.
Well, you look like Alex Karras from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Punch a horse and knock him out.
Telling you,
it's Mongo, right?
Mongo, yeah, Mongols, Mongo. Close,
yeah,
enough.
Close enough. Yeah.
He was
close
Mongo.
Enough.
Mongols is the gang. And,
it's close. It's one letter.
But I think what's been lost a little bit in this is that so they arrested. There was 192 people arrested. 171 people were charged. Of those, 130 of them were white. But there was 30 Latinos. There were blacks. There were women. There were
those aren't women. Those are old ladies.
Those are old ladies.
Yes, indeed. I'm sorry. My apologies. Again, I'm not saying anything that would offend anyone in the Bandidos, motorcycle club, whatever it is.
Club. The other thing about the bicycle clubs, the motorcycle clubs, a lot of them have ties to white supremacy. And they may have a few Latinos here and there, but majority of them,
as a Latino, let me tell you something. There's no club of white supremacists that would allow me to join just because I'm a little light-skinned. I'm just telling you that, white supremacists pretty much would beat the crap out of me regardless of where I'm at.
Well, I'm just telling you what I love.
But
as
a white guy, any white supremacist group I've ever seen, I'm like, yeah, I think I'd rather, if I'm going to find a white supremacist group to join, I don't know, I'd like one with people with library cards. Like, maybe people that... Is there any groups where you didn't drop out in like the eighth grade? Like, do I have to get those shitty tattoos? That look really more than anything. That's what keeps me away from them.
And if I do have
the tats, are what's keeping you?
There's a thousand shitty tattoos.
If I have to get them,
you have to get the 88.
Can I get them somewhere that it'd be covered by clothes and not like right here on my neck? Or is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, I don't. How do I trust this guy's on meth? And I'm supposed to let him tattoo 88 on my carotid artery right here? Nah.
So I think we're missing the most important part of this story, which is the Twin Peaks element.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the sizzle that sells the steak.
Exactly.
Here.
Yeah. I'm just surprised because it happened in Waco that they didn't burn that fucking Twin Peaks down.
Well, it's
like
it's,
David Koresh style.
I'm surprised the FBI didn't come in and tank through it. Actually, they've closed it down now, so it's gone. It's permanently shut down. They lost their
charter.
Franchise. Yeah, they lost their charter.
Now, how are those girls going to finish working their way through college?
Well, no, it's tough. Dental assistant.
No.
There are going to be no dental assistants in Waco in the next 15 years.
Two things. First, it's really not just the shitty tattoos and the lack of education that keeps me from joining white supremacist group. There's a lot more problems I have with that. But those are just, that's the easy two. Those would be the fixable ones for them. After that, they get into all the shit where I'm like, nope, not me. Sorry. But this Twin Peaks, they said it had been taken over by the bikers for a while. Like, basically, it was the biker hangout.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think they quite had the same talent level working there as that. You know,
think not like the one here on Segan Lane.
Yeah, it ain't the college freshman from LSU.
Do you
want to
know what the highest
Peaks
grossing restaurant in Baton Rouge is?
It's Twin Peaks.
It's Twin Peaks. I believe Segan Lane. Highest grossing restaurant in Baton Rouge. So when you're talking about restaurants in Baton Rouge, and you think about the great, great restaurants, particularly in District 12, where I'm councilman.
Yeah.
Jubin's, Galatoire's, Sullivan's, Bruce Chris, Mansers. All the Doe's is a fantastic restaurant.
Is Doe's in your district?
It's not in my district, but it's still a great restaurant.
Yeah.
The thought that all those restaurants, the number one grossing restaurant in Baton Rouge, Twin Peaks, that makes me sad for our society.
I'm just glad it's not Hooters anymore.
Yeah. Titties and beer, man.
Can we just get rid of the Golden Lemay? Can we move on from that now?
Yeah.
I understand the high shorts are coming back. They shouldn't. They're terrible. It's good for girls with dumpy asses, and that's about it.
So you're anti-pantyhose? That's your...
No, I'm not anti-pantyhose. I'm anti those gold tight-looking things. I'm not... Look, I got a full-on pantyhose fetish, so let's...
I thought that was your website. Yeah, I thought I had seen that. That's why I was asking.
It's the hose ride. I'm just going to keep making fun of this shithead. And see, that's the other thing. Like, oh, I'll make fun of him because sue me. You can have half my debt. Go for it. I dare you.
I would love to bring him on the podcast. That would be my quintessential moment, a debate between myself and Mr. McKay. And if you're listening, if you ever, you know.
Look, I'll do it,
too. He's got his own fucking podcast.
I'm allegedly of the same political leanings as him, and I'd fucking murder him in a debate.
He has a podcast with Brian Haldane. I think it's called the Red Bayou Podcast.
He does. And Brian's like, I don't want to beat up on Brian.
Sorry for Brian.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
Let's rescue Brian.
I feel sorry for Brian. This is
like day 443 in the hostage crisis. Let's go rescue Brian from the McKay podcast.
Tie yellow ribbon on the old podcast.
How the fuck does Jim Inkster have a show and Haldane doesn't?
On radio, radio.
That hurts my heart. I tried to listen to that show the other day. Oof.
Inkster?
Oof.
I'll be on Inkster on Friday.
Hey.
I'll give it a shot again. I'll give it a second chance. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. It's happened before. Jim Inkster, great guy, hell of a radio show. Love him. 4 o'clock, 107.3 every day.
It's the stream of consciousness and middle names, man.
It really is.
Jim Inkster, he's always dropping people's middle names and the stream of consciousness of dates and birthdays. And
The show I listened to the other day was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And he had Leo Honeycutt on there. And
was he throwing out the Wilson? Like,
yeah, every
Ronald Wilson
time.
Reagan.
Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Yeah.
Ronald Wilson Reagan. Ronald Wilson Reagan. Ronald Wilson. We get it.
Was he like February 6th, 1911?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking 1915. He was born. Yeah, it is. 1911. You are correct.
He's the closest thing we've got to Rain Man over here. He is. Yeah.
I'm like that with song lyrics and movies. He's like that with middle names.
Yeah. Ugh. All right, so
I barely know mine.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about. We're going to probably wrap up with this, but we had a couple of base jumping, actually three deaths, but two incidents.
Good.
Happen. Yeah. So we had.
So he says good.
Exactly.
That's okay. No, really, no death is good.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things,
we had.
Okay, all the white supremacists die.
All right, you got me there. So that's
all right.
Winner. All
good right. enough. See?
So we had
drops the mic.
Two wingsuit flyers, and this is exactly what you think when you hear wingsuit. You think Rocky the Flying Squirrel from Bullwinkle. They put on these wingsuits.
So wait, was it a wingsuit or was it somebody that had like that surgery to lose weight really fast?
It could have been just
and
that.
And they just had loose skin flapping
just
under
that
their
loose
arms.
Skin. Like they used to be 600 pounds, now they're 150 and just open up their arms and nutsack. And
it looked like that thing from the Beastmaster that would hug you and suck all the juice out of you.
Yeah.
Where's Ryan Heck?
This is it.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Look, I love the guy. He's my buddy. But he did have a recent surgery. I hope he does well.
He's dropping the weight. Good.
Banana
good.
Split?
Oh, that's
if
good.
They have one at the bar, I'll take one. That's what I was referring to.
So these two
we're
guys
out of ice cream today.
You get these two guys that leapt to their deaths from a cliff in Yosemite National Park. They were trying to zoom through a notch in a ridgeline and were airborne for about 15 seconds when they slammed into a rocky outcropping. Dean Potter, 43, and his partner Graham Hunt, 29. They were both experienced at flying in wingsuits, the most extreme form of base jumping.
Were either of them married?
I don't know.
Because everybody that reads this article for the rest of their lives, Dean and his partner Larry jumped from a cliff.
Like Thelma and Louise.
Taft Point, 3,500 feet above the valley floor. They would have been traveling at speeds close to 100 miles per hour as they aimed for the narrow gap in the ridge.
And then they were traveling 0 miles per hour.
Very quickly, they decelerated. So you had that going on. And then you also had, it happened about a week or so ago, a week and a half ago, but it just came out, a 73-year-old base jumper. There's something wrong with that right there. 73-year-old base jumper dies after a parachute set on fire. It was intentional. There's a video. Authorities say a 73-year-old...
Like a Viking ship.
Authorities say a 73-year-old base jumper who died after leaping from a southern Idaho bridge had his parachute set his parachute on fire as part of a stunt. A graphic video of the May 7th fatal jump was posted on YouTube Monday. It appears to show James E. Hickey of Claremont, California, engulfed in flames as he plunged 500 feet from the Perrine Bridge to his death in the Snake River.
So, Snake River claims another victim.
Yes, indeed. Officials say Hickey had planned to jettison the flaming parachute and deploy a second chute in the stunt. Professional base jumper Sean Chuma said the Twin Falls News, blah, 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 blah. So, he heard Hickey had previously performed a stunt while skydiving.
So this is why they should teach Darwinism in schools. Because if you don't understand the theory of evolution that the
we weren't evolved, John. God created us on the sixth day.
Then you will go jump off of a bridge.
Because I'm special, and I've got God within me.
How high is this bridge that he thinks he has time to set his backpack on fire
500
and hope
feet.
That his second parachute doesn't also catch on fire in the 4 seconds 500 it takes him to hit
the feet. Dirt? 500 feet.
I think he should have did calculus is what he should have done. Because if I'm 73 and I'm going to die on fire doing something that involves the word base, it's going to be free.
You and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Well, Richard lived. He lived.
He made it. He made it. Well, he won.
Holy shit.
He showed free base and who was boss.
These guys, the base jumpers and all that, I mean, y'all remember, I don't know if this is still around. I haven't checked this out in a while, but the Darwin Awards on the internet was one of the early internet sites talking about people who, you know, basically subject themselves to the stupidest conditions possible and end up dying in the process. I mean, I feel bad for these folks. I'm sure that their families are missing them and everything else, but
we don't need them in our gene pool.
What they were doing.
I'm glad they're not in the gene pool anymore.
This is not like a firefighter who rushes into a burning building to save someone or a policeman who gets shot in line of duty.
I think the family's probably a little glad.
You know, they're probably like, hey, we kind of saw this one coming. Yeah. The first time he jumped off a bridge with a burning parachute.
Yeah, because you know, you can tell that there's not a 70-mile-an-hour wind whenever you jump off the mountain. But what you don't know is, what are the wind conditions 50 feet below and 20 feet out from this mountain?
In that narrow passage that you're trying to get through at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
With no protection other than a fucking helmet.
Look, and you know, I think their family...
Why do you want to go through the narrow passage so badly in the first place? I would just assume at the narrow passage.
Because it's there.
You and Edmund Hillary will go up there because it's there.
And you know what Edmund Hillary has in common?
That's Sir Edmund Hillary to you, sir.
You know what he has in common with those base jumpers? Dead. Dead. Yeah, I don't... And you know their family had to be like, oh, thank God he didn't just break his neck and... We had to take care of him for another 30 years on a ventilator.
And he had that death by accident insurance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know they weren't paying out on that.
Jesus.
So, let's see. You jumped off of a mountain. Oh, but it's a sport. It's a sport. These other 100 assholes didn't. It was suicide, but when you did, it was a sport. Okay. Let me get you. Yeah, stand by your mailbox. Check's on its way. Get that out to you shortly, sir.
Holy shit.
the things that people will do just for an adrenaline rush, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just, it's some of the things are very impressive, and you look at them, you're like, man, wow. And some of you are like, wow, you're stupid. I mean, I guess it's just human nature. We're always going to climb that higher mountain. We're always going to, you know, try and go for the brass ring somewhere, but it's just too dumb to risk your life over something.
If I need an adrenaline rush, I grab the ladder, I get up on my roof and I blow her, and I blow the leaves off my roof. That's enough fucking excitement for me. I'm set for 4 or 5 months right there.
If I need an adrenaline rush, I just get Allison's EpiPen that she has in case she has an allergic reaction. Right in the whole thigh meat right there.
That might take care of those vibrating testicles.
Right. I'm thinking really hard about it. If I go to like another 2 days with this, I might take up base jumping.
Oh, this has been fun. So, what do y'all have anything special coming up with the council? Anything controversial coming down the pike? Or
oh, I wish there were.
Anybody having plans to announce a run for mayor?
I don't know. Denise Martell might be.
I saw a story about some lunatic guy who was going to do it. He's a law professor somewhere, taught criminal justice somewhere. But I just read some of his statements, and I was like, this guy seems like a lunatic.
No. You know how about Paul Guidry?
I don't know.
I don't want to like throw his name out there, but Paul is a frequent attendee at council meetings.
Is he is a criminal justice teacher at Baton Rouge
Community College?
That guy.
He's going to run for mayor?
I saw something about he was thinking about it, and then I read some stuff from him, and I was like, oh, come on, seriously? You can't be mayor? I could be mayor.
He's a really nice guy, but he...
got some views.
I think he's got some issues in terms of his political perspective.
His worldview.
We disagree.
I heard whispers that a certain former legislator who had a failed run for U.S. Senate in 1996... and is very active in the St. George movement.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, we're talking about Major Woody?
Yeah, Major Woody. I heard he may, is considering a run for mayor, which I would wholeheartedly support. Not him. I wouldn't support him. I would support his run because we could get so much fucking mileage.
Many, many, many hours of podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
Look, can absolutely. There's been a lot of shit going on with the police. I support the police. I'm 100% police. Some of my best friends are police.
Right.
But you're making it really hard for me to stay on your team, police. You're making it really hard. I'm a conservative Republican. I've always been one. Since I was about 13 years old, I decided, you know what, conservative Republicans, where I'm going to be. You're making it really fucking hard for me to keep on to do this. You're just making it really, really difficult. I'm like, yay, lower taxes. Yay. Wait, what? Stop it! You're ruining this! Everything I love, people are trying to ruin for me.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is, Sonny.
Just can Republicans stop being dicks? Can police stop being dicks?
Oh, I was waiting for you to bring the full circle. I was just wondering where that airplane was going to land eventually.
Dicks?
Bananas can, apparently. I hope everybody that wants to run for mayor does run for mayor. That's the beautiful thing about living in America. You know, everybody gets a shot at that brass ring.
America.
But the police, I was still kind of trying to connect that one. Should I try or not?
Everything that I love, they're just ruining.
They were out there giving water to passersby today. I was impressed. Baton Rouge Police Department. Out there, town square, handing out cold water on a hot day.
They didn't have signs with saying free hugs like a creep.
It wasn't free hugs.
That video creeped me out. I'm sorry. You got a sign out there. I don't care if you're a cop or what.
I don't care what uniform you're wearing. Quite frankly, I would probably be finding that a little suspicious. I'd probably call the police on the police.
Yeah, if I saw somebody, a strange man with a sign offering free hugs, I'm calling the police. Wait a minute. Is the fucking police offering the free hugs? We need to fire the rest. That's goddamn creepy.
They're just trying to make up for how bad they fucked over Leo Collins.
Boy, ain't that the shit. They fucked. Well, SI says they fucked over Lyle Collins for putting off the interview, and then the police would say, no, we didn't put off the interview, blah, 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 blah. So now we're trying to figure out who fucked who or whatever. It's just what.
They I can't. Him. They fucked him.
I can't imagine them saying, well, we want to wait till after the draft before we clear up all these allegations or clear up Lyle's name or his involvement with this case, which he's not a suspect. He's just we want to talk to him.
As soon as they saw his name involved in it, they went full bore with it. Like, you know, if it had just been somebody got shot and there wasn't anybody famous involved, they'd have been like, yeah, we can wait till Tuesday to talk to you.
I'll tell you this, I don't know anything about it other than what I've read in the newspaper, but all of my lawyer friends are chomping at the bit, posting on Facebook, hey, Lyle, please hire us to sue the city of Baton Rouge.
To sue the city of Baton Rouge for the millions of dollars that, according to Sports Illustrated, they cost them by not letting them get drafted in the first round because they let this linger through the entire NFL draft.
All of my knowledge from this case does come from comments on Facebook articles. That is where I get all of my news information. I read article headlines,
and then I read the comments.
Just go straight to the
comments.
That's
why I think everything has something to do with racism or homosexuality in Baton Rouge. Because no matter what it is, police give out free water, and all the children live today. It's black people's fault. No, it's some gays. Literally four comments in on any subject. That's what it turns into.
That's one of those internet rules.
It is.
Oh, absolutely.
Comments.
That's why comments are my favorite part of the
Godwin's
world.
Godwin's Rule 75.
That's it.
And I'm not saying I don't encourage it sometimes, because
I'll just get on there.
Look, sometimes I'll throw a statement out that if you just read it and you don't know me, it could be taken a certain way, just because I like to sit there and just...
What was it? You and Wayne for a while, every now and then, y'all would just get bored. There was a time you'd go on Channel 9 and just throw in free Boosie.
Yeah, free Boosie on everything.
And just watch it.
Well, I thought I saw you, like, when they changed the speed limit on Starring to 35, and he was like, it's cussing gays.
But, hey, sometimes you got to put that out there. And look, if it's a slow news day, I'm more than willing to make my own entertainment. You know it's an adrenaline rush starting a flame war on a WAFB comment page.
No base jumping for you. You can get it all out on the internet. And then
they make it so fucking easy.
Mm-hmm. They do. Just because you can't. It has to be a news story comment section. You can't go to Reddit with that bullshit.
No, they'll just downvote you
and then you're done. Yeah, whatever.
No, you got to go to a news site like Channel 9 or whatever. And because all the people who are on there commenting, it's like dryer lint. It's like 5-year-old dryer lint. Mm-hmm. You just walk in like a fat person walking in with a pair of corduroys. Boom, you're up in flames.
Yeah, flames.
My absolute favorite is, now I'm going to struggle for the name. Y'all are going to know it as soon as I say it. They always post on The Advocate, and it's like Baton Rouge from my view.
I've seen it, yeah.
And then all their posts are in the third person. So it's Baton Rouge from my view.
Yeah.
In the singular, then every post that they say is, we think that the city of Baton Rouge should do this or this or whatever. It's always in the third person. It's this creepy,
it's like
dynamic.
Just like a shared Facebook account.
If you
Facebook
talk about
account,
yourself in third person,
well, not
it
third
should
person,
be
but just
legal
the, plur- just the pluralism of it.
Like, you should be able to legally shoot someone who refers to themselves in third person.
You should be able to shoot people who share Facebook accounts. You want to talk about marriage?
Yeah, yeah. If you share a Facebook
account,
my
favorite. Somebody cheated. Yeah. At some point in time, if it's Joe and Sally Smith,
Hal and Janice Melanson.
Second name is the cheater.
Yeah,
yeah.
Second name's the cheater. You don't get top billing.
You don't get top billing. Mm-mm. If your name Mm-mm. is like if it'd be like Allison, middle name and Sonny.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm going to have to go through my Facebook tonight
just to see
who cheated on whom.
You know, on a TV show, it's good to be there at the end and be like the and as, you know, and Sonny Weathers as Sonny.
Yeah.
You know, on a TV show, that's awesome credit. But on Facebook, that means you fucked up.
Middle billing means you're the cheater.
Yeah.
On the shared Facebook account.
Oh, yeah. That's how it works.
I'm going to ask my wife if we can share a Grindr account. Go find... Oh, we're looking for Mike Johnson. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I think Jeremy just wanted an excuse to set up a Grindr account.
the third Grindr reference we've had.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a rough one, huh?
It is. It's rough, man. So, well, shit, man, this has been fun. This has been real fun. We appreciate you.
And when Jeremy says his wife, it just means him in a wig in the mirror. He's arguing with himself. All right, wrap it up now.
Wrap this up. I want to thank our earlier guests, Wilbur Nobles and Elvis Bolton from Power App from LSU. Thank them for coming in and talked about their app. And
it'll be on iOS eventually, but it's on Android right now, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah. So go ahead and download it, especially if you think you may run into a situation where you're going to see a police encounter, good or bad.
You should just have it anyway.
Have it anyway.
Look, I know there's a million great police interactions, and I've been stopped before, and I've never had any trouble, but some people do, and if you got trouble, you need to be ready for it.
Exactly. They give you direct access to newsrooms all over
or if you,
the country.
If you see them giving out water.
And free hugs.
You can always talk about the good things.
Exactly. Exactly. Or the cop I saw online. You don't have to worry about your video going viral on Facebook. You can send it straight to the newsroom.
A cop helped me once.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There you go.
I think, I guess. Thank y'all for the warning.
I want to thank Sunny Weathers and, of course, Metro Councilman John Delgado for not only hosting this but also being on the podcast and being such a great support again.
Thanks,
as always.
Guys. Thanks again. Always fun.
Always. All right.
Next Mayor of Baton Rouge.
Next Mayor of Baton Rouge. Delgado. Yeah. After he officially announces it.
No comment.
Yeah. And look, I don't want to look too far into the future, Governor Delgado, but I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and wrap this.
All right. Let's go ahead and sign off. I'm Jeremy White.
Sonny.
John Delgado.
This has been the Red Stick Podcast.
Stick around, folks.
You're never gonna win nothing.